There is a call. Some hear it like a distant thunder. Some hear it like a whisper in the ear. Some just feel it in their hearts. A deep sense of responsibility to country, to service, to something bigger than themselves. We honor those who are willing to do what so few have done. Because of their sacrifice and service, our country is a light on the hill that cannot be put out. Though many have tried, those who stand and protect it are heroes, worthy of our respect and admiration, worthy of every minute of attention we give to pause and recognize the hope, the sacrifice, the honor of all who have served our country.
Good morning, and we do want to say a special thank you to our veterans who have so faithfully served our country, and quite honestly, we get to do what we're doing this morning because of your sacrifice, your giving, your time, all that you have done. So to all those that have joined us this morning, that you are veterans, matter of fact, if we can, and if you will, if you're able, if you're a veteran this morning, you're here worshiping with us, would you mind to stand so we can honor you and acknowledge your service? Amen. Amen. Well, thank you so much. I know there may even be some online, and we too want to say thank you so much for your service. And looking forward to today. We know it's a few days until Veterans Day, but we want to make sure to acknowledge those who have sacrificially served our country and helped provide our freedom that we enjoy. Furthermore, we want to say, if you're a guest here, welcome to Second Baptist Church. We're so glad that you chose to worship with us, whether you're here in person as a guest or online. There's a couple ways we would love to connect with you. First of all, there's a card in the pew back in front of you. It's a simple connect card, and it's just a little card to fill out some information so we can know who's here with us and any way our church may be able to serve you. If you'd rather not fill out that card, you can go to our website, sbcr.org. There's a button that says I'm new. You can click that. And then it's a real simple information there, and I personally get the email of that response, and just love to connect with you, know if there's a way we can serve you and your family. And so thank you so much for being a part and looking forward to worshiping the Lord Jesus today. I'm grateful for the opportunity, and we are going to continue our series looking at the ascension this morning, the ascension of Christ, and focusing on that topic, if you will. I do want to mention to you that tonight, instead of our normal 5 o'clock meeting time, we're actually going to meet at 4:30. We're doing this emphasis of pray and go and going throughout our community and praying over houses and just leaving a small bag just to say, hey, we prayed for you. We'd love, if anybody would like to go out with us, you can be here 4:30 this afternoon, and we typically go out for about an hour. We'll meet back here, and just been a really fun time of fellowship. It's been a great time to get out into our community. Matter of fact, I'll tell you a pretty neat story that happened this last week while we were out. And then last thing I want to mention to you is, well, I guess there's two other things. First of all, next week we do have our regular monthly business meeting scheduled for next Sunday night, so I hope you'll make plans to be here with us. There's some major items we need to approve for the 2021 fiscal year, all right? There you go, just throw it right out there. So then the other thing I want to mention to you is that many of you are aware of the ministry that we do of trying to provide Thanksgiving boxes to meals, or Thanksgiving box, a Thanksgiving meal to families, rather. And we are doing that this year. We've refined it down just a little bit to try to make it most efficient, but then we've doubled the number of families we hope to serve. So we're hoping to serve 40 families and gift them a complete Thanksgiving meal, okay? And so we're going to be collecting over the next couple of weeks. It's coming pretty quick, I know. And I believe, I don't know if we've moved the board this morning, but we'll try to get that moved by the end of the service. But the way that we do this, if you're unfamiliar, we have a board with a lot of sticky notes on it. And what we tried to do is on those sticky notes, we've tried to make those about $5 increments. So you may pick one up and it may have bag of sugar and flour, it may have a couple different type items. And you can just take that sticky note. That is yours. That's your reminder. You go, you take whatever you feel comfortable with and whatever you can help with, you take that and then you bring it back and we'll have boxes set out where you can drop those donations or you can bring them by through the week. There's also envelopes on there on the board if you say, look, I'd just rather just give money and help provide a box. I believe we're estimating this year a box for one family will cost around $50. And there's envelopes on there. You can take that envelope if you'd like to just give that toward that. Use that envelope. It's dictated on there about what that goes for, and that'll help us out. So different ways you can be involved with that, but this has just been a neat ministry. We work with the local school districts to try to determine these families that are in need. We deliver those to those families and just try to connect with them. So if you're new to the ministry, hopefully that kind of give you a little bit of idea of what we try to do there. And then those of you familiar, you know. So hopefully that board will have that out before we dismiss this morning, okay? All right, here in just a moment, we're going to stand and sing unto the Lord. And let me encourage you in this. I realize in a lot of ways, the week can be kind of crazy. It can be a lot of things happening, especially the last week in the life of our country. And no matter who you voted for or who you didn't vote for or where your position is on this thing, this is what I know, is that the Lord is worthy of our worship this morning. He is worthy of our undivided attention. He's worthy of our best this morning. So I'd simply, in just a moment, as we're going to pray, just pray and ask God, help me to clear my mind and focus in on you, and that I may give you my attention this morning, that you'll be honored. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, you are gracious and kind and merciful. We thank you for your love and affection toward us. I pray, Lord Jesus, that everything that we say and do this morning, that God, you would be glorified. Lord, we pray that you would hide us behind your cross this morning. Fill us with your Spirit. God, help us to focus and give our best to you this morning. I pray you be worshipped in spirit and in truth. And we pray and ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand and worship the Lord together.
Men of faith, rise up and sing of the great and glorious. You are strong, great, you feel weak, in your brokenness complete. Shout to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west. Jesus is Savior to all, Lord of heaven. Rise up, women of the truth, stand and sing to broken hearts, who can know the healing power of our awesome King of love. Shout to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west, Jesus is Savior to all. By the power of his reign, we've fallen deeper in love with you. You've burned this truth on our lips. Shout to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west, Jesus. to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west. Jesus is Savior to all, He's Lord of heaven and earth. Rise up, church, with broken wings. Fill this place with songs again of our God who reigns on high. By His grace again we'll fly. Shout to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west. Jesus is Savior to all, Lord of heaven and earth. We will shout to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west. Jesus is Savior to all, Lord of heaven and earth. He is Lord of heaven and earth. He is Lord of heaven and earth.
Great hymn of the faith. How great. Have faith in God.
Faith in God when your pathway is lonely. He sees and knows all the way you have trod. Never alone or the least of His children. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. He's on His throne. Have faith in watches o'er His own. He cannot fail. He must prevail. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God when your prayers are unanswered. Your earnest plea He will never forget. Wait on the Lord. Trust His word and be patient. Have faith in God, He'll answer yet. Have faith in God, He's on His throne. Have faith in God, He watches o'er His own. He cannot fail, He must prevail. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God in your pain and your sorrow. His heart is touched with your grief and despair. Cast all your cares and your burdens upon Him and leave them there. Oh, leave them there. Have faith in God. Watches o'er His own. He cannot fail. He must prevail. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God, though all else fail about you. Have faith in God. He provides for His own. He cannot fail. Shall perish. He rules, He reigns upon His throne. Have faith in God. He's on His throne. Have faith in God. He watches o'er His own. He cannot fail. He must prevail. Have faith in God. Have faith in God.
Amen. We can have faith in God this morning because He is the cornerstone. He is the solid rock of our faith. Let's continue to sing to our Lord and Savior.
Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name.
Sing that again with us.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ
seated. Thank you. Well, amen. If you have your Bible, I need you to turn to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1. And you may go ahead and find the book of Hebrews as well. We're going to journey through the Bible a little bit this morning. We are going to find ourselves reading a lot of different scripture from a lot of different places. And so for those of you who would like to, there is an app called the YouVersion Bible app. And if you have that downloaded on your phone, if you look under the More section, then there's an Events. And under that Events, you'll find Second Baptist Church, and you'll find today's sermon notes there. If that entices you, or you'd like to do that and follow along that way, you're certainly welcome to do that this morning, just a way to keep up a little bit, because like I said, we're going to be a lot of different places this morning. This morning I'm preaching to you, as I mentioned a moment ago, on the ascension of Christ. And so just by way of reminder and overview, we are walking through this series that we have called King's Witness. King's Witness. And so this is simply the King's Witness, and we'll have these symbols on a screen in just a moment, but these symbols are simply just a way to share our faith, share what we believe in. And so the first one being this down arrow, and we spent a few weeks ago now and talk about He came, that Jesus came as fully God, yet fully man, lived a sinless, perfect life, okay? And then the second one is the cross, and that He died. And so Jesus came, lived a sinless, perfect life. He died on the cross. And so doing, He offered Himself as a sacrifice for our sins. And we'll touch a little bit more on that this morning. The third one, and I know there's some discrepancy over what this exactly is, and sometimes it looks like a rainbow or whatever, but the point is it's supposed to be a tomb, or rather an empty tomb, because Jesus arose. He arose. So He came, He died, He arose. And then the fourth one with the arrow pointing back up, that He ascended, okay? And by the way, at the back of our sanctuary this morning, there's a table, and there are some of these bracelets on there. There's different colors to match your outfit, okay? And so you can be all trendy and cool, all that kind of thing. But that has all these symbols on there. And then the final one being the down arrow again, and that He is coming again. And so over the course of a five-week span, we're in week four, obviously, we're walking through what each one of these are. Here's the hope, here's the design and purpose of this, is that you and I get more comfortable using this tool, understanding what these symbols mean. We wear our bracelet or whatever it is, as God gives us opportunity to talk about our faith, and we can use the symbols to share the gospel. It's a really simple tool. Now, do you have to use it? Absolutely not. Okay? But this may be something for some of you. Go, man, I just like to have something that helps me with that. And this is a simple tool that you may like to use. So I've just been preaching through each one of these ideas. And so week four, He ascended. Now, if I can be transparent with you, this one out of all five, I was maybe least excited about. Just thinking about, okay, what are we going to talk about with He ascended, okay? That He pretty easy, Jesus came and talk about that, and lived a sinless, perfect life. There's plenty to preach there, and He died on the cross, and talk about the crucifixion and what Jesus has done. And there's a lot of good stuff there, and then He was buried, but He rose from the grave, and we had Easter in November and celebrated that, and then we get to He ascended. And yes, it is tremendous that Jesus rose from the dead. He spent 40 days here on earth appearing to people, and we talked about that last week, but then He goes back to heaven. And you have to begin to ask, okay, so what? What does that mean? Why does that matter? Well, I'm really glad you asked, because we're going to answer that this morning. And after the more I studied, I think the more I went into Pastor Jonathan's office, go, man, I'm excited. And I had to begin to cut things out, because there's just not enough I've got enough preaching in me. You don't have enough patience for me to get it all out, okay? So I'll try to do my best, stay within our time. So Acts chapter 1, we're going to begin in verse 1 and focus on He ascended. So if you found your place, will you stand with me in the preaching and the honor of the reading of God's Word? So Acts chapter 1, beginning verse 1. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, talking about Jesus, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he had also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. We touched on that last week. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who is taken up from you into heaven will come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth of your word. I pray this morning that, God, you would give us clarity. God, you'd help us to understand the significance of the ascension of Christ and the depth of this truth and this reality and all of its significance. I pray you would hide me behind your cross, fill me with your spirit, give me every word to say, nothing more, nothing less. God, help us to respond in obedience to you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. And so if you're following along and taking notes or whatever the case may be, the main idea this morning of this message is that Jesus ascended to complete his work of salvation. To complete the work of salvation. That's the thrust behind the message this morning. And so the question of the text is this, is when, why does it matter he ascended? Or of the message, why does this matter? Why does it matter that we talk about that Jesus ascended and sat at the right hand of the Father? And there are four major truths I want to focus in on this morning to talk to you about its significance. But the reality is there's so much more. There's way more than what we can touch on this morning. But I want to talk about for the what I believe Scripture teaches is the most significant truth related to the ascension of Christ. And so again, Jesus came, born of a virgin and indicating his God nature. And then he was born in through human form, and he became fully man. And so this fully God, yet fully man, lived a sinless, perfect life without sin for over 30 years. And he went to the cross. He died in my place. He died in your place. He was buried. 3 days later, he was risen from the grave. And last week, we talked about how many people he appeared to and all the proofs of his resurrection. And then, here this morning, we read this text in the book of Acts, and we're going to come back to at the end, if you will, so we're kind of sandwiching our message between this text. But here they are, they're standing there, they're standing around. We'll draw this picture out a little bit more, but Jesus ascends. He goes back to heaven. They physically see this. And so when he ascends, then some significant things happen, and I want to talk to us a little bit this morning about what happens once Jesus gets to heaven, okay? So, number one, Jesus ascended to be the holy sacrifice. He ascends to go and be the holy sacrifice. So, if you will look at Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24. And I'm sorry, this morning I'm going to be flipping around a lot. We have a lot of scripture to read and look at this morning. Hebrews 9:24, For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, and now to appear in the presence of God for us. So hit pause. We're going to come back to this, okay? So don't forget, those of you that are familiar with the Old Testament, you know that God set up a covenant. He set up a law, a way to worship Him. They set up the tabernacle, which would be later set up as the temple. And so the tabernacle or the temple had certain levels of entrance to it, if you will, okay? So think about a massive building, and there was a inner of the inner rooms called the Holy of Holies. Then there was a holy place. The room was just a little bit bigger, encompassing the Holy of Holies, okay? And then you had other areas as it grew out from there, okay? And so depending on that building, and depending on where you come from and who you are, all that kind of things, determine what level of entry, if you will, you could get into. But there was only allowed one person into the Holy of Holies, and that was the high priest. And the point of that is, in the Old Testament time, that's where the manifest presence of God was. And so they would go, and one time a year, and people would bring a sacrifice, but before they bring a sacrifice, he would take and sacrifice a specific animal. He would go into the Holy of Holies, approached, taking the blood in before him, because blood is what washes away sins. And so he would go in, he would have to offer a sacrifice to cover his own sins. Then he could take the sacrifice of individual families and go in and offer the sacrifice on behalf of yourself or your family. And so that is what the high priest did. But notice the sacrifice, that a blood sacrifice had to be taken in to be offered for the remissions, for the forgiveness of sins, okay? So now unpause, look back at our text, verse 25. Not that he should offer himself. So notice, we'll back up in verse 24, if you will. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands. What is he talking about? The physical places. He didn't enter into a tabernacle, and he didn't go into the temple that was on earth. What did he do? He went in, he says, which copies are true. The earthly version of that are copies of the heavenly, okay? And so there's a holy of holy places in heaven, and by the way, that's where God's at. The God the Father, the manifest, the physical presence of God, which are the copies of the true, but into, look, heaven itself. Not to appear in the presence of God for us, or now to appear in the presence of God for us. So here it is, he's going in, not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy places every year with the blood of another. So he says he's not like the high priest going in on behalf and having to do his own sin or offer for his own sin. Notice, he then would have had to suffer once since the foundation of the world, but now once of the end of the ages. He has appeared to put away sin, look at this, by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after that the judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. Okay, so now here's the picture, that Jesus ascends into heaven and he offers himself, because he is the blood sacrifice, the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. We talked about this with the cross. He was buried, raised from the grave, and now whenever he ascends, he goes into the presence of God and he has offered himself as the blood sacrifice on behalf of all who repent and believe on him. And so he is this holy sacrifice. And now notice this, that if you were to look at Exodus chapter 30, verse 10, it says this, and Aaron shall make atonement upon his its horns once a year. This is talking about the way they would do the sacrifice in the Old Testament, with the blood of the sin offering of atonement. Once a year he shall make atonement upon it throughout your generations. It is most holy to the Lord. So Aaron, in the establishment of this, is God says, take this spotless lamb, this offering, and go offer it on this altar, and it will take away the sins, if you will, for a year. And the next year you have to come back, and the next year you have to come back, and the next year you have to come back. But dear friends, let me remind you this morning that Jesus has not been born and died year after year after year, but rather He came, He lived a sinless, perfect life. He died on the cross for the sins of us. He didn't have to go and offer sacrifice for Himself because He was sinless. And so He goes in and He offers the sacrifice on our behalf. And we read about this sacrifice in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5. Therefore, when He came into the world, He said, sacrifice and offering you do not desire, but a body you have prepared for Me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book, it is written of Me. So He says, the Bible, the scripture we have today is written about Me. To do Your will, O God. Previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin, you do not desire nor have pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then He said, behold, I have come to do Your will, O God. He takes away the first, that is the old covenant, that He may establish the second. By that we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Dear friends, I know it's a little bit we're digging into the Old Testament and this Old Covenant, but you need to understand this morning the reason that you will stand and that Jesus is our cornerstone, that we can place our faith and trust in Him and rest in that is because Jesus stepped from earth back into heaven and He offered Himself on your behalf. To cover your sins, to atone for your sin, for your forgiveness. And so, but notice this transition that takes place in Hebrews chapter 10. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifice which can never take away sins. Okay, so why was the Old Testament set up? It was set up so that there was this act that was going through, but that they a visual, practical reminder that the offering of lambs and goats could not take away their sin. They had to keep coming back every year. But rather, that's why we celebrate the Lamb of God, Jesus, sacrifice, because He is a perfect sacrifice for all eternity. But notice this, it goes on in verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, notice this, sat down at the right hand of God. From that time, waiting till His enemies are made His footstool, for by one offering He has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. So you have salvation because Jesus went in and offered Himself as the sacrifice for your sins. And I hope that you caught this. Notice in verse 11, it says, every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly, but what does it say about Jesus whenever He offered, that He offered and then He went and He sat down at the right hand of God? I'm not sure y'all going to get a hold of this morning, but let me help you. He goes in and sacrificed Himself before a holy God, knowing it is a perfect, acceptable sacrifice of God. And then He goes and takes a position of authority and He sits down. You go, what's the big deal? The ministers, the high priests had to keep coming back and forth. They stood before the sacrifice. They stood before the altar. Why? Because their work was not finished. Don't miss this, church. Jesus goes in and sacrifices Himself, steps back and sits down because it is a completed work. It is a finished work. We are redeemed by the blood of Christ. Man, thank You, Jesus. I'm telling you. I don't know if y'all got it this morning, but I'm excited. Woo! Man, Jesus, You're good and kind and gracious. So He is a holy sacrifice. I'm not going to hurt myself, okay? I'll be all right. Number two, Jesus ascended to be the high priest. To be the high priest. So Jesus goes in. He sacrifices Himself. He sits down at the right hand of God. And He takes His position as high priest. The Old Testament, it was established that you were from a certain tribe and a certain family, and you were set aside as a person to offer on behalf of the people of God. As they brought their sacrifice, you offered your sacrifice to be sin free so you could offer the sacrifices of others. You were this high priest. You were this minister for the people before God. But the old has been done away with, and there is a new high priest, and his name is Jesus. Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 20. And as much as he was not made priest without an oath, for they had become priests without an oath, but he with an oath, by him who said to him, "The Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek." We don't know a lot about Melchizedek, but we know that he was a priest even before the establishment of the law that was given. And he was a minister before God and served as a priest in his day. So then, picking up by so much more, Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. Saying old has been done away, Jesus satisfied that and new is established. Also, there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. He's saying, look, there's a long line of priests. There's a roll call. There's a history because they died. Somebody else had to step in. But he, because he continues forever, he died but was buried, now he's ascended, he continues ever, has an unchangeable priesthood. There's no need for another priest. There's no need for somebody else. He is the unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost. Thank you, Jesus, those who come to God through him, since he always lives, look, to make intercession for them. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints as high priests men who have weaknesses. But look, but the word of the oath which came after the law appoints the Son who has been perfected forever. So Jesus goes in, he offers himself as a sacrifice. So here he is playing both roles. He is the sacrifice. He is the spotless Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. We talked about that the past couple weeks. But not only that, he is the one that is offering himself. He is the minister. He is the high priest. He didn't have to go in before and offer some sacrifice for himself so that he could then offer himself again. But rather, because he was sinless, he was perfect, he is the sacrifice. But not only is he the sacrifice, he's the one that's presenting it before a holy God. He's presenting himself. And so he is this high priest. Hebrews 4:15. For we do not have a high priest, look at this, who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was on all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Okay, so we need to pause here for just a moment. I need you to catch this, okay? Sometimes it was difficult for the people to relate or understand with the high priest, because here they are, they're living closer in this tabernacle or temple, and this is all they do. They offer sacrifice, and maybe they're not a part of the regular everyday living, and so it's hard to understand as these people are going about. But rather, here's the picture then, that Jesus came and lived his life 33 some years here on earth and experienced trials and tribulations the same way that you and I do. We say, well, how is that? Because this week I'll teach in my Bible study on Tuesday or Wednesday from 1 John, there's three types of sin in the world: lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. All of sin will fit in those three categories: lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Jesus experienced this same temptation. Every sin in your life will fit in one of those three categories. Well, Jesus, if you remember, we see in the book of Luke, he was out fasting after 40 days, the enemy came against him and tempted him. Excuse me, he had been fasting, and so no doubt he was hungry. And Satan comes to him and says, hey, look, take this this stone and turn it into bread and feed yourself. There's lust of the flesh. He was hungry. His flesh was hungry. So then the next temptation is that he takes him up high on the mountain, looks out and says, boy, you can have all that if you'll just bow down and worship me. There's lust of the eyes. He took him out and looked at all that. Jesus didn't do it. And then the third temptation, he said, look, you're the Son of God. Throw yourself off this cliff and a legion of angels will come and rescue. There's the pride of life demanding what he was entitled to. Jesus was tempted in every way you are, except the scripture says, without sin. This is what I need you to hear, friend. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what adversity. I don't know what pet sin. I don't know what it is in your life. But dear friend, we do not have a high priest who has separated himself. He has washed himself. He has distanced himself. But rather, we have a God of all creation who sent his son Jesus to be here on earth, not only to offer the sacrifice of your sin, but to be a faithful and merciful high priest who can understand your struggles, who can identify with your pain and your anguish. That's the high priest that we have. He was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. But not only was he tempted, and he's this faithful high priest, but then Romans 8:34 tells us that he is this intercessor. Romans 8:34, who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died. Furthermore, is also risen. Who is even at the right hand of God, his position of authority and finality, who also makes intercession for us. You know what that idea, you may write this in the margin or out there, is he's the one that pleads for you. So not only he took himself, offered himself before a holy God as a perfect sacrifice, but then also as you struggle and you face the hard time, as we sing a moment ago, as you go through the storm, he is the one at the right hand of God pleading on your behalf. He's making his case. He is pleading for you. Not only is he the intercessor, he's the mediator. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, for there's one God, and look, one mediator between God and man, the man, Jesus Christ. He's the one. The mediator is when two parties are at odds. And so God being the just and the justifier, being the one that is righteous and holy, and you and I being sinful and wicked, we are at odds apart from Christ. And so he is there before a holy God, not only sacrificing, being the high priest, being the mediator. He is there mediating. He is making the case. He is bringing reconciliation, trying to make you right so that you can be right before a holy God. He goes before God on our behalf. Hebrews 9:24, Christ is not entered the holy places made with hands, which are the copies of the true, but into heaven, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Jesus ascended to be in the presence of God for you. For you. Where he's high priest, he's intercessing, he is mediator. And then one of my favorites, 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. The Bible says here that he is an advocate for us. That which was from the beginning, which we have seen and heard, their eyes. Oh, excuse me, I've got the wrong reference written down. But in 1 John, it tells us that he is the advocate that is there. And so the picture, the idea of the advocate is that he is of legal defense. He is the one that stands in defense of us. That's the idea that it's an attorney or a lawyer. That's the picture that's here. And so not only is he offered himself as a sacrifice, that he is the high priest, that he is this mediator pleading. As you and I pray, as you and I seek the favor and mercy of God, he's pleading there. And he is mediating between two parties that are odds against each other. But he is the advocate. So now here's the picture where one day without Christ, you stand before a holy God, that the law is your prosecuting attorney, and there God is the judge, and you will stand guilty before a holy God. But now for those of you that we know Christ, that Jesus is Lord, Savior, Master of our life, when we stand before God, it has gone from the law being the prosecuting attorney, now Jesus standing there as your lawyer defending before a holy God who is righteous and just and faithful, that he is our advocate. Then number three, Jesus ascended to be heaven's Christ. To be heaven's Christ. Acts chapter 2, verse 31. He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. this Jesus God raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, the Lord is my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies my footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, I want you to see this, both Lord and Christ. That Jesus has been established as heaven's Lord and Christ, that he is supreme over all. We see this throughout Scripture in Mark 16, 19. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. We talked about that picture being a picture of completeness, but it also is a picture of authority. Then we see in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 22, who has gone into heaven, talking about Jesus, and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers have been made subject to him. Not only is he Lord in Christ in heaven and over all humanity, we're going to see that in a moment, but he is Lord over all spiritual realms. He is supreme. We see his supremacy in Ephesians 1, 19 through 22. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ, talking about God, when he raised him from the dead and seated him as a right hand in the heavenly places. Then notice this, here's the supremacy. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet, and he gave him to be head over all things in the church. Listen, dear friend, Jesus is Lord. He is supreme. The Bible tells us in Philippians 3:9, and being found in him, having my own righteousness, which is from the law, that is through faith in Christ, a righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering. Philippians 2 goes on, back up into the chapter, he tells us that the Bible, that God has given Jesus his name that is above every name, that at the name of Christ, every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess that he is Lord, those on earth, under the earth, and above the earth. Listen, Jesus is Lord this morning. And he ascended. And on his ascension, and when he sits at the right hand of God, and all this takes place, it is satisfied forever that he is Lord and he is Christ. And so now, what does this mean for us, other than getting excited that he is the sacrifice, that he's the high priest, that he is Lord and Christ? Well, it also means that he has left us with work to do. Number four, Jesus ascended and left us with hope's message. He has left us with a message of hope. So if you go back to Acts chapter 1, where we started this morning. Acts chapter 1 and verse 4. We're going to skip past the first three verses. And being assembled together with him, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So he's saying, I'm going, the Spirit of God is coming. Therefore, when he had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to him, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. Let me hit pause. Next week, and I'll deal with this more next week, about Jesus coming again. We spend too much time thinking and trying to figure out what our timeline is and when Jesus is coming. Let me just help you with that, and hopefully you won't skip next week's message, but this will be the thrust of it. He's coming. All right? He's coming. So then he goes on. Verse 8, okay, Mark underlined this, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Those of you maybe not familiar with that region, Jerusalem was there, obviously the closest city. That's where they were. Judea was a little further out. Samaria was a little further out. And then they picture of the entire earth. So for them, it was starting at home and going abroad and not neglecting any of those. Now when he had spoken these things, they watched, and he was taken up. A cloud received him out of their sight. And I think this is one of the funniest scenes in the entire Bible. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him going into heaven." Let me just emphasize this for just a moment. I realize some of you have heard me talk about this before, that here's the picture. They're standing there before Jesus, crucified, and all these all these experiences that they had. They're standing before him, and they're asking, they're intrigued, and Jesus knows he's getting ready, and so he gives them this final word: go and be a witness. And then as they're standing there, and I don't know how this went, okay, but I'm just a little bit of creative license, all right? They're standing there, and all of a sudden, Jesus, whoop, he's gone. And I just find it really comical that here are these, I mean, these are our spiritual heroes, right? If you read the Bible, okay, they're standing there looking up. And then it's as if these angels are enjoying the moment. They kind of step in. What you doing? Jesus was here. He's there. What you doing? And so he addressed them, said, "Look, why are you standing here gazing into heaven? The resurrected Christ left you with a message, left you with a job to do." And let me just, I don't want to jump too far off into hyperbole and not make something out of it. Too many of us are standing around going, when Jesus has left us with a message, with a directive, with an order, our commander-in-chief has left the order on the table, and too many are standing and watching and gazing. And there's a couple things about this ascension. I don't have time to unfold all of them. Let me walk through them, and then we'll settle on this message. A couple things that Jesus tells us about his ascension. First of all, he tells us that he's going to prepare a place for all believers. John 14:1, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you to myself, and where I am, there you may be also." So dear friend, take heart, take comfort. We have a place prepared in heaven by God Almighty for those of you that know Christ. Then we know that Jesus has told us as he goes away, he's going to send the helper and the one that brings conviction. John 16:7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. If I do not go away, the helper, that is the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." So as he goes away, the Spirit of God can come. "And when he has come," notice this, "he will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged." Dear friend, the Spirit of God brings conviction. Okay? And then the final one where I want to end on this morning is he leaves us with the message of power and of hope. Acts 1:8, "You shall receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." Every born-again believer has something in common, many things in common, but one of those being we have the indwelt presence of God. The disciples at this time did not. They're standing there. He goes. They said, look, they run back to Jerusalem. They go to the upper room. They get on their knees and cry out to God. The Spirit of God shows up. Acts 2, man, the Spirit of God is there. They're working, and they begin preaching and sharing the gospel, and the Christianity explodes over the known world. He says, you go and wait on the power. But dear friend, you and I, we don't need to wait anymore, because you, as a born-again believer, the moment you receive Christ, you receive the indwelling, the power, the dunamis of God, the power of God, the Holy Spirit of God lives within you. That's why when you do things that you shouldn't do, there's conviction in your life. But dear friend, it's not just to bring conviction in your life, it's to bring power, it's to bring motivation, bring work in your life to do things that you can't do apart from the power of God. And I really believe some people say, Pastor, I struggle to share the gospel. I struggle to talk to people about their faith. It's because we keep looking at flesh to do these things which only God does in us and through us. We've just got to put ourselves in a position to allow the power of God to work in us and through us. But dear friend, we have a message to share. The ascension matters, because right before He ascended, His final words is, go and be a witness. You shall be, you will be a witness unto me. Friends, there are still people within a short radius of our church who don't know Christ. Within a half mile of right here, 986 people live. You probably take majority of our churches and add them all together and not come up with 986 people in church in our city. There's a few exceptions. Arkansas Tech campus, non-COVID year, 9,000 students step foot on that campus. And I don't know about the other churches, but I know in Baptist churches and in our association, we can find about 300 of those. Last week, we pray and go. We leave, and I was with Al Ray and Dennis and Jerry, and we had three teams going out. And all we do is go and take little packets with us, and we sign it. We go to a house, we pray over it, sign, we pray, leave it on the door, and that's it. Now, if people are out and about, we try to be cordial, be nice, and all that kind of thing. And Lord opens up opportunity for conversations, we'll do that. We offer to pray for people, all that kind of thing. But we're not knocking on doors, we're just going and hanging that. Last week, we stopped in front of a house and prayed, and we got done praying. I noticed that there was a man sitting in the car outside. So I went up and hung it on the door, and I'll confess to you that, man, I thought, man, I need to talk to that guy, and I started to walk away. But see, the week before, God prompted me the same way, and I wasn't obedient. And it grieved my heart. And I got a few steps away, and I thought, man, I can't. God stirred my heart. And so I stepped back to the vehicle and spoke to the man. And he spoke back, and next few moments, I had the chance to share the gospel with him. I used a bracelet, walked through what Jesus has done. And you know what? After some conversation, does he know Christ? I don't know. Did he pray right then and get saved? No. But friend, this is what I know. He knows exactly that Jesus came, He died, He rose, He ascended, and He's coming again. And I'm fully convinced that the Spirit of God can do in his life what I can't do. And it may be that night, it may be in 10 years, it may be never, but I'm praying that at some point, I'll either have an opportunity or somebody else will, that witness will bear fruit and that man will give his heart to Jesus. And if I'm honest with you, it's been too long since I had shared one-on-one, personal, with somebody like that, somebody I didn't know. Right at first, I stumbled, struggled, but man, the Spirit of God showed up and worked and moved. Friend, I'm just here to tell you, I don't always get it right. I'm not all the ways out there and being as faithful of my witness as I ought to be. And sometimes God prompts me and I have to ask for forgiveness because I'm not as obedient. Or I'll walk away from a situation and go, man, why didn't I? But I try to pray often, God, would you give me opportunities? So this morning, as we celebrate the ascension, and man, we get excited about what Jesus has done for us, We need to be as equally excited and passionate about, man, if God can do that in my life. We walked away from there, and a couple of our guys had eased on down to another house. And they had said, yeah, I said, we were talking to that man and sharing with him that you were over there talking to him about Christ. And the man said, man, I'm glad he is. Boy, a lot of drugs, a lot of things go through that house. And you know what my first thought was? But for the grace of God, so go I. But for God's grace in my life, that would be me. And so, friend, I want to invite you this morning. Number one, if you don't know Christ, won't you give your heart to Jesus today? Secondly, if you do, ask God to stir you up. Man, rejoice in all this truth about what Jesus has done and what He is doing. Man, may it stir us up to tell others about Jesus. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore You. We thank You for today. We thank You for Your love and affection. I pray, God, if there's anybody here that does not yet know Christ, God, that they'd surrender their heart and life to You, Jesus. And if that's you this morning, you can just pray right where you're at. Ask God to forgive you of all your sin. Ask Jesus to be the boss and master of your life. Ask Him to save you. You can pray something like this, but understand, words of a prayer have never saved anybody. It's attitude of your heart. You can pray something like this, whatever you do, mean it with all your heart. That, dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. Jesus, come into my heart, wash away my sin. Be the boss of my life. Thank You for loving me. Thank You for dying for me. Thank You for saving me. In Jesus' name. God, I pray for those that are here that maybe just prayed and ask God to ask You to save them. I pray You give them boldness. Give them strength. Work in and through them, I pray. Do what only You can. God, help us to respond to You, I pray. You remain in attitude of prayer. This front is open for you here. If you want to come and kneel, you're certainly welcome to do that. If you prayed that and you meant it with all your heart, I want to challenge you to let somebody know. You can do that by filling out one of those cards. And there'll be an offering plate as we get ready to dismiss here in a few moments. There's the form online. You can respond, say that you prayed to receive Christ. Most important decision you'll ever make. It's important you share it with somebody and somebody that can help you and follow up in that. Maybe you're a Christian, just praying for one another. Praying for our friends and family and aren't able to go to church right now. Praying for those that you know that need to know Jesus. Lord, I pray as we heard Your word, God, we'd be obedient to it. We challenge, we'd be a faithful witness to You. That God, You be glorified. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our worship team gets ready to lead us. We're going to sing, I'll Build My Life. And we're just going to sing about, man, what we build our life on. And so let's stand. And it's just a continuative response of what God has spoke to us this morning. And so during that time, if you want to come up here and pray or whatever the case may be, feel free to do that. But we're just going to conclude this time with a song of worship.
Of every song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for You. Jesus, the name above every other name, Jesus, the only one who could ever save. worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. We live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and
Amen. I want to say again thank you to those who are able to join us today, and I'm going to ask our men that will help take up the offering and usher, so on and so forth. You can begin to make your way to where you need to be. Just know this, as we leave here today, if you're a guest, you can take that card if you'd like and place in the offering plate, and we'll get that, and love to know how we can minister to your family. You can fill that out online. Don't forget, if you pray to receive Christ, use the card or online. Let us know about that decision. Lastly, I'll be outside, just outside the doors here. And if you're a guest here, I'd love to connect with you, love to meet you. and just to get to know you a little bit. Let me say, as we get ready to give, just one of the ways, I don't know if you realize this, but because of the way that you give, the way that you sacrifice for that, we are streaming our services online through Facebook. I get messages often throughout the state and honestly different parts of the nation. Folks are able to tune in and stay connected to our church family and know what's going on, and the ones that don't feel comfortable. So I just want to say thank you so much for the way that you give. That's just one small way that your giving helped provide a service and reach people that quite honestly, we never know the impact of that reach. So let me pray, and then we will be dismissed. God, you are gracious and kind. We love you. Thank you for all things. I pray, God, as we give today, that it be an act of worship unto you, and thank you for using that to help reach people all over the state and the world. And God, just pray that we give sacrificially and cheerfully. I pray and thank you for our guests today. Pray you bless them. Be with us this week. Help us to be a witness for you. And God, you be glorified in all that we say and do. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.